You don't have to go to that special finance dealer to get approved. At Blue Water Chrysler, no matter what condition your credit is, they'll get you approved. Visit Moran Blue Water Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 24th Avenue in Fort Gratiot or online at moranbluewatercdjr.com.
Ride the wave to savings with us.
All right, on this Friday morning and topping state news, you heard a little bit ago that there is an agreement, at least it appears to be an agreement, on a state budget that would avoid a government shutdown. Joining us right now to talk a little bit more about the importance of avoiding a government shutdown, former Vice President of Political Affairs for the Detroit Regional Chamber. We've talked to him at the Mackinac Policy Conference before. He is now Director of Clark Hill Public Strategies, Brad Williams, online with us right now. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. It's great to talk to you. This is the first time I think we've been on the air together where we haven't been on Mackinac Island.
I think you're right, and I'm glad that you got a few minutes for us to talk about a government shutdown, because you have been through state government shutdowns before on the inside, haven't you?
Correct. I was a state employee in 2007, as well as an advocate for the chamber in 2009. So, you know, both of those instances were incredibly stressful. You know, not only for, you know, state employees, but those who rely on state government to promote their personal growth. So it's always a scary time. It looks like we're going to avoid it this year. And so that certainly is cause for celebration. That said, the instability and the lack of information coming out of Lansing since July 1st certainly, you know, sends a message to the rest of Michigan, or to the rest of the country, as well as whether or not Michigan has its act together.
That's a great question, and because nobody likes uncertainty or instability. And you look at this state legislature that really went to the 11th hour on this budget, and you say, what took so long? What's your observation? What do you think took so long?
Well, you know, there's certainly, you know, having Speaker Hall come in as a first year speaker, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. So, you know, I think, you know, it took a little bit for all of them to kind of get their feet underneath them. Senator Brinks, the majority leader, hasn't had to work with the Republican House before. So it just took some time, I think, to build the relationships that are necessary. But you can see this stuff comes together quickly, Paul. I mean, the House voted on three different tax increases last night, and each of them got over 70 votes, which in my 25 years, I've never seen that before.
That is pretty astounding. A lot of people are saying, well, if they could come to this agreement now, why couldn't they come to that agreement back in, you know, April, May, or June? But you're right, there's a learning curve there. And there's so much information in this budget. These budgets aren't pamphlets. They are big documents, aren't they?
Yeah. And I think that's important for your listeners to remember, is that what we have is an agreement. That doesn't mean we have a finished product. Mm-hmm. And so now each of these individual subcommittee chairs who are working on, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services or K-12 funding, they will get a target number that they can spend within, and then they'll have to negotiate with their counterparts and make sure we've got, you know, not just the right spending levels, but what we call the boilerplate language that directs the spending. That takes a very long time. And then just printing a bill that is 1,000 pages long, and the number of copies that you have to make of the bill, which seems ridiculous in this day and age, that can take, you know, a day and a half just to accomplish that.
Brad, for those of us that don't work in state government and don't even feel like we interact with state government that much, but I think that we probably all do more than we realize, we hear government shutdown, we think, okay, whatever, it's too bad for those employees that might not get a paycheck right away, but how is that going to impact me? But it really does throw a big wrench into the works when the government is without a budget and has to shut down, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, your grocers and your corner store can't buy liquor. And so they've been stocking up for a while. But if we shut down, there's going to be a chance that, you know, Paul, you and I can't get the martini that we'd like to have after Friday, after a hard day on Friday. So
that's an issue.
There is a lot. Yes, there is a lot that state government provides. But, you know, I think your average voter doesn't differentiate between what the state is doing for them and what the feds are doing for them. And of course, we've got the same potential problem with the feds coming up later next week as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. You're right. Do you think that this year's process will make next year's budget process any easier? In other words, do you think that they've hammered out a lot of disagreements this year that won't come up again next year?
Yeah, it should, because the difference between what we've been facing this year and 2009 is we're not bleeding tax revenue like we are then. So this is an ideological and personality-based conflict, which I think we have resolved. The complicating factor next year, though, is it's an election year. And every single member of the legislature will be up for re-election. So tough decisions get even tougher in an election year.
The House, in their budget, they said they eliminated a lot of what they called ghost employees. They said that there were these slush funds created for employees that didn't even exist. And there was just this sort of attempt to stockpile money, if you will, for a rainy day. Can you speak to that at all, or address how that did or didn't occur?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember, Paul, when we all make our budgets for, you know, whatever, you know, our local, or, you know, our personal business, you know, you can't necessarily plan for openings in your department. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, if an engineer from the Department of Transportation gets a better job, you're not just going to be able to replace that engineer overnight. And so what usually was maybe a full-time fiscal year employee becomes a half-year fiscal employee. And those dollars then, of course, lapse back either into the general fund or have the ability to be moved around through the transfer process. The idea that there's a ton of ghost employees around the state, I think, is maybe not 100% accurate. The bigger issue is that I think from a state employee perspective is that most of them are not coming into the office yet. You can see the ramifications of that in downtown Lansing, but also I think it, you know, it means we get less from state government than we otherwise might.
Yeah, and that was a big issue that I know they wanted to address. Well, these next few days are going to be busy because this is just sort of the beginning. I don't want to say the beginning of the process, but the beginning of passing the budget is now that they have an agreement, they have to hold votes and get it to the governor's desk, right?
Yep, and folks like me will be standing right outside the chambers. You know, no matter how long it takes, you know, it's sometimes going to be overnight. In fact, in 2009, the year they shut down, I was at the Capitol overnight, and the next day my first kid was born, so I didn't even get to catch up on sleep.
Well, yeah, a little cat nap, and then there they go. Really interesting stuff, Brad. Great conversation. I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you again, Paul.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.